Blog Talk Radio.
Where everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. I see you're not satisfied. And I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Whoa. Here we are again.
By your side, but I'm with you when you're all alone, and you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Here we are again.
Past. I look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing. I see the change, I see the message. And no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man in the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again. Through my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we talking to each other again?
P. Looks like I did take him to Mars this time.
So why are we talking to each other again?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here before you just one more time. Amen. That was Lil Wayne and Bruno Mars, a song called Mirrors. Amen. Just want to do something a little different today. Well, hello, hello. It is Sunday, February 26th. I am your host, Pastor D. It is great to be alive in the flesh just one more time. How are you doing? My friends, my family, how are you doing? How are you coming along? Amen. It's been a while. Let me tell you, the enemy has been trying to hold me back, but guess what? I am here and it will not stop. Amen. Come on in. The water is just fine over here. Amen. But I don't know about you, but let me tell you, I am happy. I am excited. I am encouraged on this day. You know why? Because Jesus is Lord. And I say that with all feeling in every part of my body. that Jesus is Lord. And because he is Lord and because he has given me the breath of life, I can move on. I can keep pushing. Well, if you would like to reach the show, you can always email me at the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. But the quickest way is to call the show. The number is 319-527-6218. Again, that is 319-527-6218. Again, it is a blessing to be here. And as always, I am happy to announce that I am joined by my good brother, Mr. Hakeem Nuba. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, sir. I'm doing good this evening. How you holding up?
I'm hanging in there, sir. Hanging in there, man. Just trying to keep my head above the water, as the old folks used to say.
Yes, indeed. Same here.
Yes, sir. All right. Let us go to the throne of grace. Eternal Father, my God, my King, I first want to say thank you for this day. Throughout everything that went on through this day, throughout any hardships that anybody has experienced, through any headaches, through any pain, through all the joy, through all the love that was experienced throughout this day, we say thank you. We say thank you, God, because sometimes we take for granted that we're going to wake up in the morning, that our loved ones are going to wake up in the morning, that we're going, that our alarm clocks are going to wake us. So we do all these things to prepare for our day, not knowing that the greatest of them is that you're waking us up, that the breath of life was breathing through our bodies. That it wasn't the alarm clock. It wasn't our family that knocked on our door. It was you that decided that we were worthy to live throughout this day. For we all know, Lord, that there was somebody who prayed a little more. It was somebody who loved you a little more. It was somebody that was more dedicated than we are. Father God, there was somebody that set their day up to give you all praise throughout this day, Father God. And when they fell asleep, Father, they fell asleep in faith, Father God, thinking and knowing that they would wake up this morning and you took them on, Father God. But you allowed us to wake up, to see a new day, to bless somebody, to help somebody. You allowed us, Father God, to move on throughout his day. And for that, Father God, we say thank you. For that, Father God, we bless your name. For that, Father God, we will always give you the honor and the praise that you so rightfully deserve. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this radio network. I thank you, Father God, for every listener. I thank you, Father God, for those that call in to listen, Father God, who want to hear a word, and those who are lowly in spirit and lowly in heart, Father God, and who are heavy laden and have the weight of the world on their shoulders. I thank you, Father God. Because this is the time, Father God, that the weight should be lifted. I thank you. I honor you, Father. I love you. For you have helped me be the man that I am today. And I encourage somebody today. I encourage you today that it's not going to always be this way. You won't always have to deal with the mess, the drama, the issues. There will be peace within your life. You will experience love. There is somebody who will love you the way that you desire to be loved. That's for somebody. But it starts with you. As the Christian church observes this time of Lent, examine yourself. prepare yourself to be ready for the blessings that God has for you. It's that time. It's that place. I bless you right now. Whatever it is, give it to God. Let God have his way in your life. And watch what happens. But be ye encouraged. And know that he is on your side. I cancel out any mission of the enemy. He's been on his throne a long time and he knows how to get to us, but I cancel out any missions right now that's been set up to entrap God's people. I bless you. Not only on this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. As we move on within this broadcast, it's been a few weeks since I've been on, and I've had a number of questions that were sent in to me. And I'll just pick them in order. Rachel asked me, "Hey, Pastor, what do you think of the current state of the church?" The current state of the church. I believe that the church, the Christian church, the church that Jesus started, which is a universal church for everybody, which is what the Christian church is supposed to be, I believe that the current state of the church is just what it is, alive and well. I believe that the church has its place in society. I believe that there are times that the church has become too lukewarm in the things that where we are supposed to stand for the holiness. There are times that the church doesn't say anything. And I think a lot of times it's out of fear. But I believe that still, as the Bible says, these things will have to happen for everything to come to fruition. But I don't believe that the church is on a lifeline. I don't believe that the church is getting ready to fall down. That will not happen. Not on my watch. And if there's a preacher who is out there who understands what I'm saying, they will agree with me that this will not happen on their watch. Now, yes, we are not the void. We're just little pieces to this big puzzle. But for my circle, for my area, for my part where I am the watchman over, it will not fall. I will say this, that it appears to be the other way around, that the church is falling. But this is where your faith has to be larger than your eyesight. This is where your faith has to be the one thing that guides you along your path. This is the time where your faith has to be the guiding point, so that you will know and remember that the church is still the beacon of light. It has become apparent that, especially in this day and age, that the church has become more of a that beacon of light has become more of a issue than anything else. That church has become more of a problem than anything else. Whereas everybody has become a situation where it has, where the church was a beacon of light and a help to the people. Now in this day and age, now it has become where people don't want to run to the light. They want to hide from the light. So I will say that it has, in this day and age, people don't want to run to the light because they want to stay in the darkness, because the darkness was a place where they can hide their sins and hide who they really are and not have to deal with the weight of the world or the weight of the sin. That's what it is now. But I'll tell you what, even though that's the case, even though that's the way it is now, still the church is the place where everybody will run one day. Everybody will see one day that the church is still alive and well, and regardless to what they think or what they feel, they will see that it is all about Christ. Christ is still the center point of the church. Christ is still the one that blesses. Christ is still the one that died so that we may all live. And what we are to do, and as his people, is we are to celebrate his life. We are to celebrate what he did for us, and we are to tell this dying world about a living Savior. I don't care what the situation may be. It may look like it's bleak. It may look like we are losing the battle, but I promise you this, one day we shall reign. And I believe it with all my heart that God will see his son victorious, that he didn't put him through all of that just for us to fall short at the end of the day. So I'm saying that I believe that the state of the church is alive and well. And that is not coming from what I see. I'm coming from a place, you know, I was raised in an area where they were told that numbers don't lie. And that's a focal point of my career, where numbers do not lie. But I'll still tell you this, when it comes to faith, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers, and God will see us through this. We're just going through a battle right now. We're going through this battle. But I promise you, the state of the church is well and in order. This listener says, sir, I hear you talk a lot about the things that you do for the church. Are you seeking a gold medal? My friend, it's not a gold medal that I'm seeking. It's the golden crown that I'm seeking. It's the crown of life that I'm seeking, not a gold medal. A gold medal you wear around your neck, but my crown would sit on my head. You must know the difference. You must know that as a senior pastor, see, I was a senior pastor at 24, the youngest senior pastor in my district ever at 24. I promise you one thing, that all I desire in this life is that crown of life that's going to be placed on my head with the diamonds engraved. I do for the church because that's my job. I give to the church because that's what I do. Because I bless the name of the Lord in everything that I do. And when it comes down to it, as a shepherd, if my sheep does not have a place to go and rest, the lions and the wolves and all of those predatory animals will pick them off one by one. So it is my job to make sure that my sheep have a place to rest. So when you say that you hear me say I do a lot for the church, I'm supposed to. And any pastor that's not doing a lot for his church or any church, shame on them. your people are to be able to look at you as a pastor and say, I have seen what my pastor have done. It's not about money. It's about your time and your effort. Your church should be able to say that they see the gifts that God has given you. They don't see, even as a lay, I should be able to see, as the pastor sitting and watching the lay, I should be able to see the gifts that God has given unto my people. That's the way it works. But no, sir, I'm not seeking a gold medal. But hopefully one day we both will have that crown of life. That's what I'm seeking. Good old listener X. And I finally thought I ran you off. But what do you think of the Abrahamic religions? I think nothing of the Abrahamic religions. I loved Israel. I love Islam. And I love Christianity. You see, what you have to learn is when we stop being divided is when we can work together with a purpose. Each religion that falls under the Abrahamic religion has a purpose, for being here. Now, we know Israel and Islam have been fighting for years and years and years, and will fight long after all of us are gone. But the Christians can bring forth the peace that surpasses our understanding. You see, we are the middleman. We are not Israel. We are not Islam. We are the middleman, Christ-centered. We are the ones that will bring forth the peace through it all. So I can sit in a mosque and I can pray to Jesus as they pray to Allah. I can go and sit with the Israelites as they pray and I pray to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus, I don't have to be in a church to say that I have to worship Jesus, that I can worship Jesus anywhere that I so please. But when you get past all of that, then you will understand what it's truly about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the love. At one point of my life, I used to say that. If it wasn't about Jesus, I didn't want to hear it. I used to want to combat my brothers of Islam to prove a point. But God told me that that's not the way we do things. You love on, you be that beacon of light that I've called you to be. And watch what'll happen. And that leading me into the fourth one, the fourth question. Do I believe that love truly conquers all? Yes, I do. Without a shadow of doubt, love conquers everything. If I can prove to you that I love you despite the fact of what you may have done, said, or thought of me, it may not happen on that day, but I promise you, eventually, you're going to see the light. You're going to see that the love that I have for you surpass anything that you thought of me. And I have a lot of people that think a lot of crazy things about me. Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't make me or break me, but I still love you. I used to go by an old saying, hate me, but do it honestly. If you don't have a real reason why you hate me, then that's just a wasted emotion. But I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Because truly, love conquers all. Last question says, what do you and how do you feel about the LGBT community? What am I supposed to feel about them? That's not my life. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. I don't judge. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word undiluted, which I will do. But I don't judge anybody because everybody, including myself, is an ex something. How soon we forget that we all used to be something. We all used to be an ex something. We all used to be something. Something held us down. And you know what it is? It's hidden right in that closet. See, there's no such thing as a big sin and a little sin and a white lie. There's none of that. So what I'm saying to you is that the liar, the fornicator, the adulterer, and anybody else, even as we want to talk about it, the anybody that's in sin will all be together. You see, we condemn a group of people for what they believe and how they feel because it's written about in the Bible. But how soon we forget that everything that's dealing with us is also written in that Bible. I have no feeling against or ill feelings against the LGBT community. I am a heterosexual man. That's all I am concerned about. What everyone else do with their life, that's on them. They have to answer to that when it's their time to answer for it. But I will not stop loving people because of the way that they feel about other people. Again, it's all about maturity. And it took maturity for me to understand that. So I say to you that if you cannot look past what a person feel or think, and you put them down because of that, you're not spiritually mature. Because again, going back to love conquers all. And if you feel that you want to reach somebody, start off by trying to love them. Show them that you really love them. When a person feels that you really do love them, they'll open up to you. And then, and only then, will you may be able to understand what they're dealing with. What would Jesus do? No matter of fact, what did Jesus do? Jesus died on the cross for everybody, not just the heterosexuals. But for the homosexuals, for the liars, for the thieves, for the fornicators, for the adulterers. He died for everybody, and he placed sin underneath his feet for every. Don't waste too much of your time focusing on the sin. Rather, focus on the man that released you from the sin. See, people always try to get you caught up with that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that that's what you're doing. But I'm saying, if you truly want to know, it does not affect me. You can come and worship at my church. But if God gives me a message, I'm going to preach it. Afterwards, we'll talk about it. But I am a preacher. I am one that will preach what God tells me to preach. But you are welcome at any time, and I will shower you with love. I have family members that support that community, and that's okay. I still love them. I still laugh with them. I still joke with them. I still talk to them. Whatever it is, it doesn't affect me. I'm a preacher. I am God's servant. And he's the only one that has the power to put you in heaven or hell. You see, I found that too many times the people that condemn don't even know where they're going. Don't even know where you're going. But you're ready to condemn other people. Watch what you do. Watch what you do. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to get into this message. And the subject of this message is, do you really want it? What does that mean to you? Do you really want it? Let me explain it to you what I mean. Do you really want God's blessings? Do you really want to be set free? Do you really want to experience the goodness that comes from knowing that your soul is secure in the hands of the Almighty? When I think about that, excuse me, I'm a little hoarse, amen, from this morning, but when I think about that, I'm reminded of this woman and the story of the woman with the issue of blood. In her story, you find heartbreak, love, you find forgiveness. This woman, she lived 12 years with an issue that nobody could fix. Can you imagine being one who did all that you could do to serve God and to serve God's people? You fed the hungry and you clothed the naked and you gave your last when you it was your last and you needed it for yourself. But you did all these things in the name of God, and yet you were stricken with an incurable disease that caused you to bleed out for 12 straight years. Your whole life was turned upside down because none of the doctors and none of the physicians and nobody of your time knew how to fix this situation that you were going through. And yet everybody looked at you as if you were unclean, and because this was a law that was set aside for the people of Israel, and you being one who never did anything wrong amongst anybody, but yet you are the one that was given this plague, given this part of your life that you could not get back, and you wonder why. The doctors couldn't fix it. Nobody could help you. And you say, God, I have done all that I could do in the midst of everything that went on around me. I tried to bless you, bless your people, be a beacon of light, and yet still, where are you when I needed this blessing? Prayer doesn't seem to be working. The people have turned a deaf ear to you. Isn't it funny that the same people that you blessed, now that you need a blessing, turn their backs on you? They forgot how quickly you laid your blessing down their feet, but now that you are in a need of a blessing, they're nowhere to be found. So this woman was forced to leave her house, to leave her family, to leave her loved ones, to leave her possessions, to leave everything that she has built all her life just because of this issue which made her unclean. And she was placed on the outskirts to live in a ghetto, amen, with other people who were unclean because they could not be amongst Israel. And this woman who had a clean heart but had a disease that caused her to bleed could not see her people. She was considered dirty, a second rate, low class citizen, healthy by all other standards. But the blood issue remained upon her. She became weary, frustrated with life. Thoughts about killing herself, letting go. She thought about ending it all. But you see, how bad do you really want that blessing from God? You see, good things and bad things, both happen to good people. We love the good things, but we question the bad things. But the blessing comes to those who are faithful. And while this lady prayed and prayed and she prayed that God would heal her body, that God would fix the situation, that God knew everything that she was dealing with, and she prayed and said, Lord, I need a deliverer. Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, have you pushed me to the side? What did I do, Father God, to experience what I'm going through? What can I do, Father God, to fix it? I'll do whatever. I'm going to stand here until you answer me, Father God, but I need to know. What did I do? And here comes a man named Jesus. A man who is faithful, who had been healing the people of their infirmities, who had been raising the sick out of their beds, who told a man who had been laying there for almost 38 years to get up out of that bed and to walk. She knew that this was the deliverer who could fix her situations. And this woman who had this issue, and every woman who has ever had a menstrual, and you know how bad it can be, this woman dealt with this for a number of 12 years straight. Which means that her hemoglobin level was low. That means her energy was low. That means every part of her body ached. That means she had headaches, cramps, everything that goes on. She dealt with it for 12 years, not for 4 or 5 days. And yet she cried out, and she knew that if she were to be blessed, that she had to do something. She had to show her faith. And if she showed her faith, she knew that something good was going to come out of it. And thus this woman did all that she could do to reach God. In fact, she knew that everybody was crowded around Jesus, who was God in the flesh. She knew that everybody was pushing to be blessed. She knew that everybody wanted to touch him. because there's something special about this man. But she said, Lord, I need this blessing, and I want it so bad that I'm going to fight. I'm going to claw. I'm going to push with all power that I have left in this old body, and I'm going to reach this Messiah. No matter what I got to do to get to him, I'm going to do it. So that she could be healed. And in her efforts to be healed, she fell down to her knees and she crawled through the people and she pushed her way through. And at the end of it, when she could not push anymore, she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. How bad do you want it? That was what the Spirit said to her. How bad do you desire to be healed of your infirmities? And in the midst of it all, while she had grabbed onto him, the only part that she could grab was not his body, but his clothing. The power from Jesus, the healing power from Jesus, drained out of him and went into her, and he turned and asked, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? For there was no greater faith amongst the people than this woman who had this issue. Well, glory be to God. And I thank God for all of my issues. I thank God for all of your issues. I thank God that we all have issues, because when we have issues, it gives us an opportunity to reach out for Jesus, because we know that if we reach out for Jesus while dealing with our issues, that he is right there to heal us of our infirmities. I'm here to let somebody know, yes, you are dealing with some issues. Yes, you have some problems. Yes, you have some situations, but Jesus is rightfully there to heal you of your problems, and all you have to do is claw. You have to bite. You have to pull. You have to cause whatever you have to do to get to Jesus. I urge you to do so. Sometimes, y'all, we're stuck in the muck so deep that we can't walk. But guess what? Even though you cannot walk, you better claw your way to him. You better grab your way to him. You better push everybody out that way, and you better reach your hand out and grab for Jesus, because he is your lifeline. He is the only one that will secure your He's the only one that will secure your soul, and he's the only one that can heal your body. He can heal your mind. He can heal your spirit. I'm not just talking about stuff physical. I'm talking about some spiritual stuff that we're dealing with. I'm talking about some mental stuff that we're dealing with. Jesus is the only one that can do it. But my question to you is, how bad do you really want it? Oh, yes, yes, yes. How bad do you want that healing? How bad do you need that healing? On a scale of 1 to infinity, how bad are you seeking Jesus? There, I may say that sometimes we get not because we ask not. And when you've asked and prayed, and you prayed so much to where You don't know what else to do. That means it's now time to put some action with your prayers. And you tell the Lord point blank, Father God, Jesus, Yahshua, Esau, whatever you call him, I am not moving from this spot until I see your hands move in my life. I am not moving from this spot until I see your healing power go forth. I am not moving from this spot until I see your deliverance go forth. I am not moving from this spot until you show me that all things have been made whole. I am not moving from this spot until I have my audience with you. And if I have to stay here all night long, I am not moving from this spot, Lord, until you heal me, until you bless me, until you bless my family, until you heal us of this infirmity, until you fix these issues. I am not moving from this spot because I need it just that bad. I want it just that bad. My family deserves it just that bad. Then and only then will you see the hand of God move in your life. I'm talking to those who know for without a shadow of doubt that when you stand firm, when you stand on God's word, that means sometimes, y'all, you got to stand all night. That means sometimes, y'all, you got to stand all day. That means sometimes, y'all, you got to stand all week. Sometimes, y'all, it takes a month. And sometimes, y'all, it takes years. But I tell you what, don't get weary in your well-doing. Stand your ground. Stand firm and wait on God, because if you really want it, if you want it as bad as you say you want it, I promise you. I promise you. That blessing is coming your way. But how bad do you really want it? To close up this story, as this woman with this issue, she was so humble at the fact that she was now healed, that she fell at his feet. And he said that you have, your faith, my dear daughter, has made you whole. How bad do you really want it? Do you really believe that you can be healed through your faith? Do you really believe that it is all about Jesus? Do you believe that he has the power to do what he did all those years ago? Do you believe? Because I promise you, that if you give him just a little bit of your time, if you are seeking a healing, give him some of your time and watch what happens in your life. But stand firm. Don't give up. You are right at that moment of your blessing coming, and there are times that we give up right when the blessing is about to come our way. How bad do you want it? I want all my blessings. I want all my blessings. You know why I want all my blessings? Because I am one that gives out all my blessings. I give out my blessings to a stranger. I would give up my life. I would leave my mother, my loved ones, for the life of a stranger if it meant that he would get to know Christ, because I know where my soul would go. I would give up my life for every person that deems me as their enemy if I could fix their relationship and they would turn to Christ. I don't have enemies, but I may be somebody's enemy. They may think I'm their enemy, but guess what? I would give up my life for each and every one of you, if it meant that you would know Christ and turn to him. Because the blessings of God don't stop because my eyes close. But how bad do you really want it? May God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. Amen and amen. As you have listened to this message and you want to give your life to Christ, I urge you to find a Bible-based church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. Be a part of them. In finding this church, let me back up. Listen to the Holy Spirit on where He wants you to go. And after the Holy Spirit has led you to the church where you belong, support them with your presence. Pray with them in spirit. And support the ministry financially. And watch what God will do in your life. If that's you, happy birthday. Enjoy the rest of your life as a saved and sanctified soldier for Christ. Amen. May God bless you. That is my prayer. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Yes, we do have someone who raised their hand. We're going to bring them in right now.
Amen.
Welcome caller.
Jubilee Affair.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir. How you doing, Brother Darius?
Good, good. I just want to make a – I was teaching Sunday school today, and I used a video clip I saw on my Facebook page a couple of days ago. And it went to my lesson about God calls you like into light, from darkness into light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a clip I showed you, this is a little snippet clip of how a preacher demeaned his own sisters for starting a ministry down the street. And I said, that's inexcusable, because I said, what you do in the dark comes out in the light. And he claiming he could, he's going to shut down that church. I said, and I made a comment that you don't shut down somebody else's church. Because I think I caught a snippet of your you were talking about, said only as a like God can reveal everything.
Mhm. Mhm. And that is God's doing. That's God's business. That's not our business.
Right.
See, that's where we get into the fact where we try to do to rush God's hand. Because we're fearful. You see, there's enough in this world for everybody. There's enough for every church. Every church should be full. And that's the thing. When we get into God's business, that's when we're stepping out of line. So anybody that tries to denounce another church because it, you know, was built closer to theirs, that's the work of the enemy.
Yeah, and I'll show you this clip. Do you mind if I inbox it to you?
No, not at all, sir.
Yeah, because I used that as an example of when I taught Sunday school today.
Amen. Amen. That's right. You keep on teaching them, and you teach them the right thing, and that's truly that God is the God of light.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Amen, brother. Do we have anyone else that may want to give a word?
We have a few people on the line. Folks, we have just a few minutes left, so if you want to get your word in with the pastor, please press the number 1 on your keypad, and I can get you right through. We have less than 4 minutes. Now's your time.
This is your time. Even if you don't want to, let me just tell you that I bless you anyhow. Amen. All my listeners, thank you for listening and thank you for being a part of the Jubilee Affair. All right, Brother Kim, I think it's that time, sir. We'll just shut it down for this evening. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And to you, my listeners. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God continue to show you grace and mercy. But most of all, may he show you favor. This is my prayer for you this day and every day. Good night and God bless.
Everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa, look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. You're not satisfied, and I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Whoa.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Through my rise and fall, you've been my only friend.
Yeah.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we here talking to each other?
I see the truth in your lies. I see nobody by your side. But I'm with you when you're all alone. And you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne, I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing. I see the change, I see the message. And no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man and the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again. Through my rise and fall. You've been my only.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man.